Always trying to doubt a nigga, right? I ain't never really lost nothing, man. Dame said I'm buggy cause I wanna fight B-Hop. I said I'll fuck him up after 2 months of detox. Besides that, 8 mil for Reebok. I take him to the bar, par, that's 33 shots. He telling me I need 9. He must not remember young killer that hustled in his weed spot when he had the black legs and I boost treetops. Somebody talk about him, then they would've got a speed knot. This is when me and Hud sort of ran the G-spot. Older niggas left and we came in with green tops. Listen here, so you got my vision clear. Never fought pro, but I made niggas disappear.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, ready to spit some of that hot fire. I'm bumping that new camera, and that's that Humphrey. That's my joint right there. We're going to spit some real hot fire on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Follow me at Tariq Nasheed on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow me at Tariq Elite. Y'all can do that right now. And there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about. Today's going to be a real heavy show. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back with some hot fire right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show.
Do you want to get some real good game by this generation's version of Iceberg Slim? Well, you need to check out my boy Boss Hog Macaroni, also known as Kevin Derrick Gentry. You can get all of his books at Amazon.com. Kevin Derrick Gentry also offers one-on-one coaching and counseling for that good game. You can call him directly at 404-207-5640 or 1-800-235-0851. Or check out his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com and XPimpTellsAll.com. The new album by my man, Mr. Biweekly, it's called Mr. Biweekly Volume 1. It's available right now on iTunes, Google Play Store, and Amazon for instant download. It's also available on Spotify and all the other streaming websites. Google Mr. Biweekly and follow him on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud right now. And get the new mixtape called Mr. Biweekly Volume 2. That's going to be available this summer, 2014. Beyond Beauty Boutique. You need to let Beyond Beauty Boutique maximize the beauty in you, delivering the best in Malaysian, Brazilian, and Peruvian virgin hair. You can get top quality hair at an affordable price. Get 10% off and free shipping right now at virginhairbundles.org. Again, that's virginhairbundles.org.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and this is Mr. Tariq Elite, making it do what it do, family. Shout out to everybody out there listening. I'm thinking about doing a lecture down in Atlanta, because I got to get out here and just vibe with the people. I know I'm right in the middle of doing Hidden Colors 3. We're doing the editing for it, and I got to get out here on the road just for at least one or two dates, but I'm thinking I might be doing a lecture down in Atlanta maybe next month. I'll see. I'm thinking about it because I want to get out here and vibe with folks. There's a lot of stuff that we need to chop up game about, a lot of stuff we need to wake up about. And I keep you guys posted on that, but I'll definitely probably do something before Hidden Colors 3 comes out, which is going to be in June. Hidden Colors 3, we're looking at around June 6th for the release date for Hidden Colors 3, 2014. And you guys can get Hidden Colors 1 and 2 right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com if you don't have it. And you can also get all my other DVDs. My Relationship, Riches, and Race DVD, a lecture that I did in Chicago, that's at MacLessons.com. Tariq Elite Live in Miami, that's at MacLessons.com. Tariq Live in New York, that's at MacLessons.com. And you can get all the pay-per-view specials at MacLessons.com. And don't forget to go to TariqElite.com and get all the clothing and all the gear. We got the new 2014 gear that's going to be available next month. Real hot stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Real hot stuff as far as that. But let's get into some game. Later on in the show, I want to talk about how to keep your mouthpiece crisp and how to conduct yourself like an authority figure, how to be a boss, how to be a leader. And I'm just going to give some brief tips on that. And there's some other things I want to touch on. Some people sent me a story about President Obama. I think he was in Chicago, and he did some kind of program. There's some kind of minority program for young men of color. That's what the article said, but it's a minority program. And look at the word minority. Let's not be fooled by the word minority, because that's kind of a code word and that's kind of a smokescreen word. But the article, and I don't have the article in front of me, you can look it up, and a few people sent it to me. Pictures of President Obama with a couple of young black men doing photo ops, and they're saying they put together this minority program that could help men of color. See, they use these vague, ambiguous terms, and black people, we're going to have to stop falling for that. A lot of people were hitting me up on Twitter and Facebook, hey, man, this is a great thing. This is a great thing, ain't it? Man, it's about time the president did something for black folks. He's not really doing anything for black folks. Look at the word minority. The word minority has been fucking black folks for the last 45 years. Black people, I'm talking directly to the black folks out here. You got to stop being fooled by the word minority. Minority does not mean black. I'm going to say it two more times so y'all can get that in your little heads. Minority does not necessarily mean black. Again, minority does not mean black. They pretend that minority is synonymous with black, and this is why black folks never get shit. All of these so-called programs that are supposed to be designed for blacks, they throw out these ambiguous words like minority and diversity and people of color, and then put black faces on it. And then when all the benefits start coming through, black folks don't get nothing. They get the little crumbs that are left over because all of these other groups start coming in from the back door, getting all of these minority benefits, because a minority is anybody. Anybody can be a minority. White women are minorities. Do you know that? Gay white men are minorities. Hispanics are minorities. Asians are minorities. A white person claiming 158th Native American is a minority. And they know the hustle. People in the dominant society, they know the hustle. Now, they pretend to be outraged by it. Oh, Barack Obama giving all this money to these minorities. They pretend to be outraged, but that's a farce. They understand the con game, because that's the way them pretending to be outraged, black folks won't complain. Complain because it ain't given to you. These so-called set-asides are not for black folks. Black people, you're going to have to get in the habit of demanding things specifically for black people. Unfortunately, a lot of black people try to disassociate themselves from anything black, but black folks, you're going to have to, if you want any kind of benefits, any kind of things done for the community, you're going to have to ask specifically for black people. Because all of these programs are not going to help black folks. And we keep falling for the same Jedi mind trick over and over. This whole thing with Barack Obama taking photo ops with these black kids, that's a smokescreen, family. I'm telling you, these benefits are not going to trickle down to black folks, because minority is a catch-all smokescreen. That's a con game that we keep repeatedly falling for over and over and over again. You know, a lot of these so-called minority business set-asides, 80% of these business set-asides go to Asians. A lot of folks don't know that. Even affirmative action, we talked about that in Hidden Colors too. Most of affirmative action goes to white women. So black folks got to stop falling for the minority hustle and stop letting people co-opt things that were designed for you, because you were specifically disenfranchised more than any other group. And I'm not going to get too heavy, again, because a lot of you get too heavy, niggas get scared. But at least know the game that you're playing. We're so unaware of the game that's being played on us. And it's really time to wake up. Because black people keep falling for the okie doke, and it's just too late in the day to keep falling for that. Speaking of more okie doke, TV program that's been on VH1 for the last couple of days called The Tanning of America, One Nation Under Hip Hop. And I know many of you have seen that, and instinctively, a lot of people had mixed feelings about it. Because people look at the title and they look at the overall message they're trying to send with this documentary, and certain people are catching the game. Certain people are catching the propaganda in it. Now, let me say this. They got a lot of big name celebrities in this documentary that aired on VH1. It aired last night and it aired tonight. It's going to air a couple of more nights. It's like a 4-night thing. And they got Dr. Dre, Mariah Carey. They got a lot of big name rappers and hip hop artists. And some parts of the documentary is actually good when they talk about the history of hip hop and how certain rap groups were formed. And it just talks about a lot of the cultural aspects of hip hop. But the thing about this documentary, it's trying to give off this propaganda-like message. The message that they're trying to convey is that we're all one nation under hip-hop. Hip-hop helped get Barack Obama elected, and racism doesn't exist because of hip-hop, and hip-hop made it better. That's the message they're trying to send with this documentary, and that's just not true, my friends. Shout out to the brother Steve Stout, who's one of the producers, and it's based on his book called The Tanning of America. And Steve Stout is a bright guy, and I like Steve Stout. But there's this message that my brother Steve Stout and other hip-hop executives, there's this message that I heard them parlay in many of their interviews, this whole thing that hip-hop has made the races come together. And that's just, look, I understand we're living in a society where black folks are at a disadvantage, so you got to kind of say and do what you need to do to get that check. And I don't like to hate on anybody getting their check. Get your money. But I am very concerned about how black folks are going to receive some of these messages. Because black folks need to really understand we're not no one nation under hip hop. Black people in this country are still very marginalized. So the message that there's this kumbaya utopia of races mixing and everything is all good when black folks are clearly at the bottom of every socio-political landscape, we just got to be very honest with what's going on. And I don't really play games with white supremacy like that. And I just don't believe in playing games with white supremacy like that. And again, I'm not knocking anybody for getting their check. When you go into these business meetings with these advertising agencies or whatever, they like to hear black folks talk about diversity. You're going to spread the message of diversity. They love that. I mean, it's going to get you a big check. That's cool. But at the end of the day, we still have the same issues that are not taken care of. And I'm in the business of taking care of issues. And again, this show, and there's some great archival footage, and a lot of the film is great. A lot of this documentary series is great. But again, this overall message that they're trying to push, that's very disingenuous, and it's just not true. There was also somebody in the documentary said, well, America is more tolerant because of hip hop. And I'm looking at this, tolerant of who? I mean, let's just be very honest here, people. Who's tolerant of who in America? You can't say you're tolerant of black folks. Black folks are being funneled in prisons more than ever. Black people are being criminalized more than ever based on race. Black people are being gentrified out of their neighborhoods more than ever. Who's being tolerated? Black schools are being shut down more than ever. Who's being tolerated? Tolerant of who? Black unemployment is insane. Who's being tolerated? Innocent black people are getting legally killed and the people can't even get properly prosecuted. Who's being tolerated? And these are very real questions. I'm not even trying to shit on anybody in that film, but let's just answer some of these real questions. Are black people being tolerated by who? Where's this tolerance thing? Not only is hip-hop not helping black folks so-called be tolerated, hip-hop is being used against black people within the dominant society. Let's just look at the Michael Dunn case, where he shot an innocent black teen, Jordan Davis. The media was calling it the thug music trial. He was listening to that thug music. He went into the courtroom talking, they were talking about thug music using these racialized code words. They're using hip-hop against black folks. So where's this tolerance thing? That's you can't put out these messages. That's just fundamentally not true. I mean, you can put it out, but we can accept it or not accept it. And I'm just not accepting that. So you got to be very genuine with the messages that you're putting out there. And right now, a lot of folks just kind of leave black people and black men in particular by the wayside. It's like, fuck them. We're not going to speak up for them. And I can understand, look, there's no money in speaking up for black folks, especially black men. There is no money in it. There's no check. If you speak up for black folks, there's no corporation that's going to break a check off for you. That's just the reality. If you start talking about diversity and we're all one big melting pot, well, they'll break off a check for you. If you start talking about black people are the problem, if you're a black person who will throw other black folks under the bus, they'll have an even bigger check for you. But to speak up for black folks in this day and age, there's just no money in that. So a lot of folks just have this fuck 'em attitude, especially in the black community. There is no money speaking up for black issues. And unfortunately, even in the black community, if you speak up with black folks or speak up for black folks, they're not going to really support you like they should. And that's a major problem. So a lot of black people, it's like, fuck them. So we're going to have a paradigm shift in our thinking and our mentality and our consciousness. And we have to get a code of conduct. And let's not go for the okey-doke and everybody's kind of throwing each other under the bus for a check. And that's not going to save you. Surrendering to white supremacy is just not going to save you in the long run. You can get a big check or get a couple of crumbs now, but for the next generation, they're going to be back in the same situation. And that's the problem with a lot of black folks. We don't think of the next generation. A lot of black people don't think about what your current actions are going to do for the next generation. It's like, fuck it, I'm struggling. Let me think. Look out for me right now. And then you get yours and you get little nigger trinkets and a couple of crumbs off the table. And then the next generation, they're stuck. So again, we got to change our thinking here. Because see, those in the dominant society, they're doing anything they want to do, and their mentality is basically, what are you going to do about it? And that's the question that black people should ask every day. When you wake up, what are we going to do about systematic racism? That is the question. When you hear black folks talk about, well, we are black folks, our own worst enemy, that's just a nigga who surrendered. You can surrender all day. That's not going to save you from white supremacy, systematic white supremacy. That's not going to save you. Surrendering has never saved you. And it's not going to save you now. If you just want to toll around and just exist and just accept a subordinate lot in life, that's not the business. And just get a couple of nigger trinkets and nigger crumbs off the table, that's just not going to cut it. Everybody don't want to get down like that. But we have to ask the question every single day. What are we going to do about systematic white supremacy? Bickering about, well, what about women's rights? What about? We still are going to have the same issues of dealing with systematic white supremacy. That's the question every black person, that's code rule number one. That's rule number one. Every black person should wake up every day asking the question, what are we going to do about systematic white supremacy? Just like our brother Neely Fuller said, we have to replace that system with a system of justice. We're not talking about any kind of crazy or super revolutionary activity, just justice. We just want justice. There's nothing wrong with wanting justice. You shouldn't be ashamed of wanting justice. Black kids getting shot and people not getting convicted of it, that's not justice. You know, gentrification is not justice. Black schools being shut down, black people being disproportionately sent to prison, that's not justice. There was a case, I mean, there's case after case after case that black people being criminalized for the most random things. There was a case I posted on my Facebook page, a black dude down in Texas. They did a drunk driving test on him. They did a breathalyzer test, and the test proved he got a zero on the test. I mean, he wasn't drunk at all. I mean, it was like a zero all the way around. And they still arrested him. And I think he's trying to get a lawsuit going on. I think he's planning to get a lawsuit against the city of Austin, Texas, because they were like, well, the breathalyzer test says he wasn't drinking, but I don't know, he was kind of swaggering a little bit. So just in case, we're going to arrest him anyway. And they took the brother to jail for being drunk, and he wasn't drunk. So black people are just disproportionately criminalized, because this whole thing, a lot of white supremacists will say, well, black people commit all this crime. No, we don't. Black people don't commit all this crime. More things are criminalized. criminalized for black people. That's not justice. But again, I don't want to get too deep in that because that scares black folks. Black folks, for the most part, because you don't know how to challenge systematic white supremacy, we like to wallow in silly shit. Like media takeout type shit. We love silly nigga shit. That's not going to save us. We got to wake up every day instead of logging on to the latest silly nigga gossip site. Ask the question, what are we going to do about systematic white supremacy? That's the first question that you should ask yourself every morning. Every black person should do that. Because the game is real out here. And people are trying to come up with solutions. Minister Farrakhan, he did a speech the other day. He was talking about how we need our own court system here. Black people need their own court systems. Certain other people said we need to be sovereign. So there's a lot of people throwing things out, and all of it is constructive. It's all constructive. We shouldn't shoot down one idea for the other. All of it is constructive. But we need to ask the question and dialogue and figure out how to replace the system of white supremacy with a system of justice, according to our great brother, Neely Fuller. And get some of my brother Neely Fuller's books, by the way. And speaking of systematic white supremacy, there's a preacher named Donnie Reagan. He's down in, what city is he in? He's down there in Tennessee. And this is the thing. In this day and age right now, the dominant society, they're becoming very emboldened right now, because with the Zimmermans and the Michael Dunns and all of this stuff, a lot of folks in the dominant society, a lot of these white supremacists are waking up. White supremacists and suspected white supremacists, they're starting to wake right on up. And well, they already been awakened, but now they're starting to come on out of the closet with it. They're starting to come on out of the closet with their views. And there's this pastor, and you can find his videos on YouTube. He pastors a church, I think it's called the Happy Valley Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. Brother Donnie Reagan. And he's given a sermon, and I want y'all to listen to his sermon. And this sermon is recent. I think he did it like sometime in mid-2013, but this is a recent sermon. And there are people who go to this man's church. A lot of people go to this man's church in Tennessee. And this shit sounds like a damn Klan rally. This is just a regular preacher, white guy down in Tennessee. And listen to this.
And we let this worldly means come right in, and we're afraid to say one thing about it. And let me tell you right up front, any of you young people, you want to marry a black man, you girls, don't ask me to do it, because I will not. I refuse.
He said, I refuse. Y'all white girls want to marry a black dude, don't ask me to do it.
I cannot do it with a conscience toward God and look these quotes in the face. You white brothers, you find a black sister, you want to marry an African or whatever more, don't ask Brother Donnie. I'll quit church. Suit yourself. I'd rather you quit than me get in trouble with God.
He said he would rather you quit or I quit church before he gets in trouble with God by marrying a white dude, one of them black sisters. Heavy. Hold on. Let me play this one.
Well, glory.
And listen to the audience. The audience is right there with him. Just listen to, that's the part that's tripping me out. The audience is right there with him.
Notice Brother Bam said, we're all human beings. We all come from God. God, but one blood made all nations. A colored man can give a blood transfusion. His blood's just the same as mine is. Mine is. I can give him one. Who am I to argue? He's my brother. But I don't believe. Brother Bam said, I don't believe in marrying, intermarrying like that. I don't believe that what business would a beautiful, young, intelligent colored girl want to marry a white man for, having a little children? What'd be a fine, intelligent colored girl want to do a thing like that for? I can't understand it. And what would a white woman want to marry a colored man with my little children?
Now, notice he keeps saying, why would a fine, intelligent colored girl? He's trying to compliment her. And it's like a backhanded compliment. Like, look, why I'm not a racist. Why would a white supremacist call a colored girl fine and intelligent? It's that type of logic.
Why don't you stay the way God made you? Be content with such as you have, see? Question and answer is notice again. And some of the finest people I ever met in my life are some of them colored people. And the church said,
amen.
Then there's some of them that's renegades. And the church said,
amen.
And there's just as many whites. And the church said,
amen.
Just exactly like the white people. Or the yellow or the brown. I don't believe in mixing marriages. I don't believe in mixing marriages. I believe that a white man should not marry a colored girl.
Amen.
Or a colored girl marry a white man. Or a yellow marry a colored. Or a white. Brother Ben said, I believe the brown, the black, the white races of all people are like a flower garden of God. I don't believe they should be crossed up. I believe that's the way God made them, and I believe that's the way that they should remain. What fools me is that I've seen some real pretty colored girl, intelligent, nice-looking kid, just as pretty as any woman you'd want to see. This is not a racist. What does she want to marry a white man and have them little children? Notice how he goes to the same thing every time.
See, this he keeps trying to give these compliments. Pretty colored girl, but why would she want to marry a white man? So yeah, I'm not a racist. And I'm not going to play no more. I just want to give you an idea of what's out there. Let me put my Mac and music back on. But that's just an idea of what's out there. This dude is in his church going on and on about how blacks and whites should not be married and they shouldn't live together. And he's not a racist because he said a colored girl is pretty and intelligent. You see that logic? Hell, on the plantation, they thought the colored girls were pretty or cute. That's why they kept raping them. Well, that's why they couldn't stay up off of them. They thought they were attractive enough to rape on a daily basis. But I digress, but I'm just saying that it's very interesting to hear that. And this is modern. So when you see these people talking about some one nation under hip hop, what nation you talking about? When you have churches like this, and that's not an anomaly. That's not even rare. The people in there yelling, amen, praise the Lord, and he's talking all of this white supremacist nonsense. These are the Zimmerman jurors. Those are the people that's on the Michael Dunn jury. These are the people that black folks have to go to court and be judged by. And you wonder why thousands and thousands of black folks are funneled into jail. These are the people who are judging your destiny. Ask yourself every morning, people, what are we going to do about systematic white supremacy? And speaking of systematic white supremacy, did you guys see that Sundown Town show? There was a show that came on the Discovery Channel talking about sundown towns. And y'all, people who listen to my show, I've been talking about sundown towns since 2006, for 8 years. I did a whole show about sundown towns 8 years ago. I've been trying to warn black folks about these towns for years. And again, black people catch up real slow, because even back then when I was doing it, a lot of black folks didn't want to hear it. They were like, hey, that's cool. Let's get into some game, though. All right, we can get into some game, but man, you need to be aware of that. And for those who don't know, Sundown Town, these are towns where black people historically could not go when it became dark. After 6 o'clock, you had to be out of these towns or you would be killed. And these towns still exist today. And if you guys can check out that special, because again, white folks co-signed it, so that's why you guys should watch that, because black folks believe things when white people co-sign it. But it was a good special, and they went to certain sundown towns around the country that are still all white, basically predominantly white, still with these sundown town practices, still don't allow black people to go there at night. There was one town where a black woman was killed in like 1968. She was in this town selling encyclopedias, and it got dark, so people followed her, and they ended up killing her. And the whole town kept quiet about her murder. Still, they kept quiet about her murder for years. And then what happened 45 years later, when the actual killer was on his deathbed, I think he had cancer, he was already about to die, his daughter turned him in. I guess she wanted to clean her conscience after the fact. See, they wait till the motherfucker's on their deathbed, then they start telling when they about to die anyway. Hey, guess what? 50 years ago, my dad lynched somebody. You know, it's too little too late. So they arrested the guy who they suspected of killing the woman 45 years ago, but he died before the trial could even start. So, you know, it's one of the more bullshit-ass 45-year-later confessions. But it was very interesting in that documentary. It was a black guy who was the host of it, and certain places he couldn't really go into because he knew the people weren't going to talk to him. So he sent one of his white producers in, like, this cafe to kind of find out about, you know, how come there were no black folks in the city. And the guy walked in, he had a hidden camera, and he was trying to kind of strike up a conversation with some of the people, and they ran him out of the store. They were like, you know, he started asking about the black folks, and they were like, the waitress came over and said, no, sir, we're gonna have to ask you to leave. You're stirring up trouble. So people in the dominant society, when it comes to maintaining white supremacy, they get on the same page and they keep their mouth shut. They were asking other people in those little communities about black folks who were lynched and killed, and they played dumb even to this day. They were like, hey, do you know there was somebody who was murdered? Yeah, I remember that. I was a kid when it happened. Do you know who did it? No, I don't know who did it. They're like, the fuck you don't know who did it? They know exactly who did all these murders and lynchings and running these people out of town. But there's an unwritten rule. There's a code where you keep your mouth shut. And these cities still exist, and it's very dangerous. The whole situation with Trayvon, I said before, Trayvon Martin, that was a sundown town situation. He was in a neighborhood where he really wasn't supposed to be at night. That's really why Trayvon Martin was killed. I talked about that a million times before. So black folks have to be aware of the sundown town mentality. But anyway, I'm getting real deep. Let me get into some game before the show gets too late here. Let's get into some game, family. All right, I'm going to talk about how to be an authoritative figure with your game. How to be a boss with your game, how to have leadership game. Just let me give you a few tips. Let me give you five quick tips before I get out of here, because I know I won't say wasted a lot of time. I spent a lot of time talking about social stuff. Now, when you're talking to people, especially women, and not just women, but just doing business in general, family, there are certain small things you can do to keep your mouthpiece crisp. To keep that boss status, to keep that leadership status, to show a woman that you are a dominant male, that you are a top-notch male, that you are a male that should be looked upon as a boss, as a leader. Now, one tip, fellas, when you're talking to women or people in general about business, don't use throwaway words like, nah, me, you feel me, because that makes you look like a subordinate. You don't want to do that. A lot of cats get caught up in that because you don't know what to say. And those are like filler words. You're trying to fill up space in the conversation, and you don't have to do that. Every other word is nah, me. Hey, I just came here to the bar. Nah, me. I just trying to get me a couple of drinks. You heard me? You know, I'm trying to go here and just get my little groove on. You feel me? You know, you don't want to do that because that makes you seem like a person who can't really communicate that effectively. As a thorough dude, as a true player, your words are gold. Everything that comes out of your mouth should be hot fire. You should make your words important. You don't want to throw away your words. You got to have that million-dollar mouthpiece. You got to be the kind of dude, everything you say should be a treat. So you can be very vague with your words, but whatever you do, don't just put out filler words, saying shit just for the sake of saying it to fill up space in the conversation. Women pick up on that, and that looks kind of weak to the women. So you don't want to have that vibe. And you don't want to be the guy. Women don't like that either. Your mouthpiece has to be a little more crisp than that. Now, tip number two. You don't want to smile too much. A lot of times when you're talking to people and you're smiling too much, that's a very subordinate position to take, and that's a nonverbal way of saying, well, I'm harmless. That's a nonverbal way of saying, hey, look, I'm very non-threatening. This is why black folks, when they go into like corporate situations, black people always have to smile, because the minute you're not smiling, you can sense that people are looking at you threatening. if you're a black person. But a lot of times when dudes in general are talking to women, they tend to smile a lot to kind of give off this non-threatening, I'm not a harm, I'm harmless, that type of impression. And you don't want to have to get down like that. You don't want to do that. Just say what's on your mind. Whatever emotion you have, let that emotion show on your face. You got to be very sincere with your game. Now, the third tip, fellas, that you can do to keep your mouthpiece crisp to maintain that boss status. When you're talking, don't use rambling, run-on sentences. Don't ramble. And that's a real big mistake a lot of dudes get into. They start rambling. And a lot of times, fellas, when you ramble, that kind of shows deceptiveness because it's like you're saying a bunch of stuff to try to think of something else to say. And a lot of times when people ramble, that makes it seem like you're trying to cover up for something. And if you're rambling, that also shows that you're not connecting with the conversation because don't nobody want to hear you ramble. The last thing people do want to hear is you just going on and on and on and not really making a particular point. Because if you're doing that, you're not connecting with the conversation. The combo isn't reciprocal. And a lot of times with me, when people talk too much, I don't do business with them. If I'm talking to somebody and they get to rambling, I'm just not doing business with you. If you can't get to the point, I'm not doing business with you. That's why my assistant Ola, a lot of times I'll have Ola talk to somebody before I talk to him to kind of feel him out. Or I let my other assistant here at my office talk to somebody before I talk to him so they can get a feel of him. And the first thing I want to know is this motherfucker, are they talking too much? What's their point? So when I talk to them, they can just get right to the point with me. Because when people get on the phone with me and they're like, hey, how you doing, man? My name is John Smith. I work with this company, man. I work with Luther Vandross back in the day when he was alive. Then I went on tour with the OJs. Then I did security for Shirley Pepsi Riley. So, man, I've done all types of things, man. I just want to know, I'm going to get down with the Hidden Colors thing and help compose some music because I do a lot of music, man, and I work with the symphony. And then I work with the George Washington High School band. I did all types. I mean, when they're just kind of going on and on. I don't want to hear that shit. Just get to the point and say what you got to say. When you're just going on and on and on, I'm just not doing business with you. And women, when they hear a dude going on and just rambling and not getting to the point, they're like, okay, this dude is verbally wearing me out. I'm tired. Just listening to this nigga ramble is tiring. Women don't want to hear no rambling dude. Because now it sounds like a sales pitch. And when you're giving a person a sales pitch, you're not connecting with them. You're just kind of running your mouth until you can figure out a way to ask for what you want. That's all a sales pitch is. Just like with telemarketers, they read from a script and at the end of the script, they say what they really want. And that's what you sound like when you ramble and you're trying to do business or you're trying to chop up game with women. And it sounds like a pre-planned pitch. And when you're rambling, you're not connecting. So you got to connect to people and not ramble. Now, the fourth thing, fellas, if you want to get that boss status, that boss impression, you want to get that leadership impression from people, you got to stand up straight. And I know that's a very cliche thing, but standing up straight is very important. The way your posture is when you walk into a room, when you interact with people, your posture is everything. And you can be saying the most profound things ever. You can talk about rocket science or whatever, but if you're standing there and you're slouching and you're kneeled over or whatever, your body language is real poor, everything you say is going to go in one ear and out the other. So your body language has to be on point, family. You got to stand up straight. Bosses, leaders, authority figures, they stand up straight. Now, number five, if you want to have that boss status, that authority status, you simply have to be an authority in something. Women like a dude who's the top dog. Women like a dude who's a shot caller. Now, a lot of times if you're on a job, again, some dudes, you work a 9-to-5, and on a job, you kind of have to play office politics. You got to be in a subordinate position. The threat of you being fired is always over your head. But the thing is, even if you're doing that, you can have some side things going on that you're still an expert in. The ideal situation is to become a boss yourself, be a business owner, just own your own thing, work for yourself. That's the ideal situation because women get turned on by that. Any dude who works for himself, that's an automatic turn on. a man who doesn't have to answer to another boss. That's a turn on for women. Especially if you got a business or whatever, women come to your spot. You're a single dude. You got some women coming through. They see you got businesses and structure going on. That's an aphrodisiac, because being a boss is a turn on. And even if you're not a business owner, just being an expert in something, being an authority in something, that's something fly that women can latch on to, and they can rock with that. No matter what it is, it doesn't have to be something extravagant, like a plumber, a dude who's a plumber, who's thorough at being a plumber, because you're still working for yourself to a certain degree. Most plumbers are independent contractors. That's a turn on. That's why plumbers get ass. Plumbers be up in women's houses. They go to women's houses and fix women's sinks and toilets, and there's some plumbers who end up getting a little dip on. A lot of dudes, you know, guys who are authority figures on certain things, dudes who are personal trainers, they always getting it in with women, because you're an authority. You have an authoritative relationship with the women you're working with. A lot of personal trainers help women train, and the fact that a dude is an authority and he's teaching you something and he's an expert in something, and you're having a physical contact with the dude, that's easy money right there. I know personal trainers that get it in with ladies. No matter what you do, even if it's something that's seemingly moist, like hairdressers, there are dudes out there who are straight men who are hairdressers, and they do women's hair. I guarantee you, you find a dude who's a straight man who does women's hair, who's straight, that dude probably gets all types of ass. All the dudes I know who are male hairdressers and they do women's hair and they're straight, they get it in with the ladies. Ladies love them dudes. And some of them dudes ain't gay at all. Just because a dude knows how to do perms and weaves don't necessarily mean he's gay. And the dudes who are not gay, they get it in because they're experts in something and they're thorough. And plus, they have immediate access to the ladies. So you can take that same idea and work it for you. If you're an expert in something, if you're thorough in something, no matter what it is, let women know you're thorough in that, and they respect that. They respect the leadership. They respect that top dog quality in you. And those are ways to really keep your leadership game and your leadership mouthpiece crisp. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Show. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get the clothes and get the gear. Get that right now, and go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 and 2. And I'll keep you posted on when or if I'm going to be doing a lecture down in Atlanta. But I'm thinking about getting down there real quick and chopping up game with the family, so we can really, really dialogue and I can vibe with the people. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. And I will holler at you on Ustream this Sunday. Peace.